Another freeze warning tonight. I'll show you how low temperatures drop and when we could see a 40-degree jump in temperatures.
Two executive orders signed today to combat gun violence. The big changes coming out of our national and state offices. And the North Carolina Supreme Court is revisiting a case over redistricting. How the final decision could affect your vote.
As we take a live look at Lake Gaston, the sun is setting. It is so beautiful. Look, a boat trying to get through those choppy waves. Temperatures already starting to drop across our area as a freeze warning is in effect for a second night. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Many of us going to wake up with temperatures in the 20s. Yeah, it's going to get that cold. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center. We're expecting a widespread freeze, Kat.
Yes, we are, Dan. Temperatures fall into the upper 20s for us tonight for the first time since February 18th. So make sure that you are leaving your heat on again tonight. It's going to be quite frigid. Temperatures have already fallen into the mid 40s in Raleigh, 28 degrees. The current temperature already in Boone, just 35 in Asheville. And that's the cold air mass that we continue to see making its way here into central North Carolina. The freeze warning is expansive. It's for most of the state of North Carolina that we will see freezing temperatures tonight, including the North Carolina coast. Temperatures range from the mid-20s to lower 30s, and this will go into effect at midnight, lasting through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Town by town, let's take a look at these numbers. 27 in Roxboro, 28 in Rocky Mount, 29 in Raleigh, Durham, as well as Wilson. And in our southern counties, we're likely to be right around 30 in Fayetteville, 26 in Sanford, 28 in Southern Pines and Goldsboro. Protect your pets, protect your plants again tonight. I'll have a closer look at when we're going to see these winds die down, though, coming up.
Yeah, and not anytime soon, at least according to this live image from Lake Gaston. You see the water churning there. Kat, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
A breaking news update here in the WREL Live Center. A man is dead after bullets go flying in a busy part of North Durham. WREL Sky 5 was live over the scene there right after that shooting was reported after 5 o'clock. This is on the 3600 block of Hillsboro Road, right at Hillsboro and Coal Mill Road, not far from 15501 and I-85. Police at this point only telling us that a man died in this shooting. Our crew on the ground told us that at least two cars had their windows shot out by bullets. There's this car that wrecked in a parking lot nearby. A lot of investigating for police to do. We know they were in and out of some local businesses there, right outside of the VIP tobacco and vape shop. There is a Subway there, a cookout location there. That scene is still roped off as police investigate. Still no suspect arrested at this point. Anyone with information about this shooting is being asked to give Durham police a call.
Thank you, Joe. Two executive orders, the same collective goal, to try to keep families safer. The president and governor today both took new action, tackling everything from background checks on gun sales to violent crime. WREL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger explains the changes they're creating.
At the state level and at the federal level, these executive orders are aimed at improving public safety. Everything from increasing background checks to facilitating police departments to work more closely together.
Governor Roy Cooper is using an executive order to establish a new statewide office of violence prevention.
It requires an all-hands-on-deck approach. And that's what this is about today.
Its aim is to get local and state law enforcement to work better together and to treat violence as a public health issue.
Gunfire has surpassed car accident as the number one cause of injury deaths among children.
Only a few hours later in California, where 11 people were killed in a mass shooting in January, President Biden signed an executive order he hopes will help prevent that. The order requires more background checks on gun sales. Stephanie Feldman is Biden's deputy assistant.
Today, President Biden is directing Attorney General Garland to do everything he can to increase the number of background checks and move us closer to universal background checks, which would mean that every gun sale, with a few exceptions, would have the gun dealer on a background check.
The order also encourages Biden's cabinet to promote the use of red flag laws, which allow the government to seize someone's guns if the person is believed to be a threat to themselves or others. And it calls for a report examining how gun makers market to minors.
I think it's easy to get a gun these days.
Maria Cortez Luna supports the effort to have more oversight over who's buying guns. She thinks that may have helped save her sister, Jessica Cortez Luna. The mother of four was shot and killed in Durham in 2020.
It's so traumatic for us because, well, my sisters, everybody, we on depression and anxiety too.
The NCGOP chairman, Michael Whatley, is condemning Biden's executive order, telling us this in a statement. It is unfortunate but hardly surprising that President Biden's reaction to the crime crisis caused by the Democrats' anti-police policies is yet another assault on the Second Amendment and law-abiding gun owners. Sarah Kruger, WRAL News, Durham.
A 15-year-old was shot and killed in Rocky Mount, and right now police are searching for the person who pulled the trigger. This shooting happened around 11 last night on Tarboro Street. The boy was found with multiple gunshot wounds just feet from his home. He died at the hospital. Police have not yet made any arrests.
A driver faces charges in connection with a deadly street racing crash in Raleigh. 30-year-old Manuel Cerrone of Garner is charged with involuntary manslaughter, felony hit and run causing serious injury or death, and misdemeanor death by vehicle. Police say Cerrone was racing 33-year-old William Ortiz on Atlantic Avenue last Tuesday. Ortiz lost control and hit an SUV head-on. Officers say Cerrone also crashed and took off from the scene in his Camaro. Ortiz died, and the child and mother in that SUV he hit were seriously hurt. We're still working on getting updates on their conditions.
An NC State student has died of a drug overdose off campus. Timothy Parker's roommates tell WREL he accidentally overdosed on fentanyl early Friday morning. They say Parker was a junior from Wilmington and studying in the engineering school. His friends describe him as smart and positive. This marks the 10th NC State student death this school year. WREL's newest documentary explores why fentanyl is so deadly and how it's ending up in every drug on the market. We're going to give you a sneak peek of Crisis Next Door coming up in just a few minutes.
The Environmental Protection Agency is proposing new regulations to make drinking water safer. The EPA announcing today water systems would have to monitor for six specific forever chemicals, also known as PFAS. Those are synthetic chemicals that linger in the environment and the human body and can cause serious health problems. The water systems would also have to notify the public about the levels of PFAS in their water and work to reduce them if they go above the standards allowed. The EPA says the proposal would prevent thousands of deaths and serious injuries due to exposure to these chemicals. New tonight, after more than a decade of debate, Medicaid expansion is nearly law in North Carolina. The state Senate took a key vote today, and it was a lopsided one, 43-2. Two more votes will put the bill on Governor Roy Cooper's desk, and he is expected to sign that bill, of course, which will use federal money to provide health insurance to the working poor in North Carolina. Implementation of the expansion is also tied to the state budget, though, so lawmakers will have to come to an agreement there before people can actually sign up for the new Medicaid plans.
Voting is once again up for debate in the state Supreme Court with a new challenge to already approved voting maps. The court now has a Republican majority, and they agreed to rehear the case. That's only happened two other times in the last 30 years. Last year, the court's Democrat majority ruled the maps Republican state lawmakers drew violated the constitutional guarantee of free elections.
That is not fair to the legislature. That is uprooting the constitutional duty of redistricting from the legislature, and it is arrogating it to this court and to the trial courts.
There is no new evidence. There were no new findings of the facts, just a change in the composition of the court to warrant this rehearing, and we think it really is unwarranted.
Voting rights advocates rallied outside the Supreme Court ahead of the hearing. Tomorrow, the court will rehear another case involving a voter ID law.
They're taking a live look at the state legislative building tonight, where lawmakers are debating North Carolina's students and how they should be taught about race. A bill that would ban schools from teaching about systemic racism passed a key committee today along party lines. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie explains why it sounds so familiar.
This is one of a string of bills that Governor Roy Cooper has vetoed over the past few years. Republican lawmakers are bringing them back now because Governor Cooper's veto is weaker this year, and they're hopeful they can override it this time. This bill could be on the House floor later this week.
Under the bill, schools would not be allowed to teach students about systemic racism or white privilege, or that anyone is responsible for the actions of past members of their race or sex. Representative John Torbett said no student should be made to feel discomfort or guilt because of their race or sex.
This bill does not change what history standards can and cannot be taught. It simply prohibits schools from endorsing discriminatory concepts.
Representative Marsha Morey said history can often be uncomfortable for students, but it's important for them to learn the whole story.
And that includes slavery, and that includes why women on the basis of sex were denied the right to vote. The 9/11 attacks, war, crime, all these are uncomfortable, and it's how we learn about good and evil.
Representative Julie Von Hafen said she spoke with a teacher who warned her it would have a chilling effect on classroom instruction.
How does he, as a teacher, distinguish between what is and is not prohibited by this legislation? And who's going to be enforcing that?
The bill is a response to conservative concerns about so-called critical race theory, or CRT. CRT is not taught in K-12 schools. But Representative Ken Fontenot, the only black Republican in the state legislature, wants to protect students from CRT concepts.
It is a damage to race relations as we speak. What our nation needs right now is healing and races to come together on common causes, not for our nation to be divided.
Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
More wind turbines are coming to North Carolina. Today, the state approved a permit for construction of 45 turbines in Chewaun County. The turbines will be operated by Timber Mill Wind and generate as much as 189 megawatts of power. For perspective, 1 megawatt can provide electricity for 750 homes. North Carolina has two other onshore wind turbine facilities in the state. Tonight, we're hearing from electric car maker VinFast for the first time since the company announced it is delaying production in our area. Electric vehicles were supposed to start rolling out next year in Chatham County, but that timeline was pushed back to 2025. VinFast cited administration procedures as the reason. Construction on the Chatham County site is expected to start this summer. Today, a VinFast spokesperson told WREL it is still fully committed to building the facility here. They went on to say, quote, "We have the necessary approvals to finalize site development and plan to start construction soon. While the timeline has adjusted, our vision for the project remains clear. We are eager to move forward with construction and further contribute to this community by providing high quality jobs and economic benefit to the entire state."
An electric bus is taking people on a low speed ride in Cary. Coming up, how this project needs your help to see the technology expand. Plus, a pharma company with a huge footprint in our area making some national headlines today. The details behind the Novo Nordic Nordisk price decrease that will help people with diabetes. More people are dying in North Carolina from fentanyl than traffic accidents and shootings.
It's the subject of our latest WRL documentary, Crisis Next Door, airing tomorrow night. WRL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance has more on why the WRL documentary team took this on.
This is happening all over the state. More than 4,000 people died from drug overdoses in 2021. 77% of those cases involve fentanyl. You know, we talked to parents who said they knew nothing about this drug until it was too late.
My name is Will Stevenson.
My name is Diane Stevenson, and we're here to talk about our two sons. We had five boys. William was the oldest, and Parker was our middle son.
William was full of personality. He just lit up a room.
The Stevensons said William struggled with drugs for 11 years. He was in and out of rehab and prison.
We knew that if he didn't change his lifestyle, that he was going to end up in jail for the rest of his life, or ultimately he would die. Parker was larger than life. He had an amazing personality. And if he were here today, he would say that he was a mama's boy. He had gotten married. His wife was 5 months pregnant.
They said Parker also struggled with addiction, but he never got in trouble and was ready for rehab.
It was a 90-day program. He really felt like he was equipped with what he needed to conquer the world when he came out.
When we got the call, most of us were in the kitchen. Diane had stepped out of the room, and she came back into the room, and she hit the floor screaming, my baby's dead. And our first thought was William. I mean, I think everybody in the room thought it was William, and it was Parker. I mean, you know, we were all shocked beyond belief.
A fentanyl and heroin overdose, and that's what killed him.
We all had hope that, wow, now William's finally gonna wake up. You know, losing a brother has to have him wake up from this terrible disease. Unfortunately, it did not.
The Stevensons are sharing their story in our latest WREL documentary, Crisis Next Door, so other families know what fentanyl took from them.
We're not going to be quiet anymore.
I'm WREL documentary reporter Kristen Severance.
It's so real for these families. You can watch the entire WREL documentary, Crisis Next Door, tomorrow night at 7:30 on WREL, on WRELDocumentaries.com, or just go to our WREL Documentaries YouTube page at 8 p.m.
An important topic. Another drug company, one with some facilities here in our area, is slashing insulin prices. Novo Nordisk is following Eli Lilly's lead, and they're making some of their insulin products at their facility in Clayton. Today, the drug maker announced by next year they will decrease insulin prices by 75%. That's about a $215 drop for vials and a $360 drop for pens. Eli Lilly announced a similar decrease earlier this month, cutting their prices 70%. New tonight, tax incentive plans have been terminated by the state for three companies, two of them here in the Triangle. Xerox pulled out of a deal to add jobs in Cary. It had originally committed to bringing 600 new jobs. LabCorp asked that an incentive plan for a new service center in Durham be ended due to the company's spinoff plan, and Europe-based Dolandia asked to be released from an agreement to build a manufacturing plant in Bessemer City.
Well, if you think it's cold here, imagine what minus 12 feels like. That's how cold it felt this morning on Grandfather Mountain. In addition to the intense cold and gusty conditions, it was snowing. That's why Grandfather Mountain is currently closed. State park officials captured this view from Half Moon Overlook. Wow. Quite a different scene. Certainly looks like winter. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now in the WREL Severe Weather Center. But at the coast on the other side of North Carolina, just a beautiful sunset.
Right. That's one of the best parts about our state. We can show you the snow in the mountains and the sunrise at the beach, or the sunset at the beach, I should say. It's beautiful out there this evening. A live look from the Beaufort Hotel. You can see the sunset in the distance there. A little bit of light left with these later sunsets. It's been a windy day from the mountains to the coast, really no exceptions. And March is typically our windiest month. On average, the wind speed in March, 8.5 miles per hour. So that tops the list. March and April are the windiest months of the year. So we've got plenty more windy days to go. And tomorrow won't be as windy as today, but still a bit of a breeze out there. Should knock the wind chills down a few degrees during the afternoon. May feel more like 26 at 8 a.m. tomorrow. And even though highs tomorrow afternoon are likely to be in the upper 50s, our wind chills are likely to stay in the 40s and 50s during the day. But the winds have really lightened up tonight. The wind speeds right now around 10 miles per hour in the Triangle, 17 miles per hour in Rocky Mount. Still some gusts up to nearly 30 miles per hour in Rocky Mount, and that's because we are wedged between high pressure to our west, low pressure to our east, and that big pressure difference in a short distance creates the gusty winds, and it's a wind out of the northwest funneling in all this chilly air from up north. The nor'easter continues to drop a lot of snow in the northeast. We're talking about more than a foot in spots, but the mountains have seen some as well. here in North Carolina, Virginia, as well as West Virginia. Winter Place has seen some snow falling, and it's still coming down there at this hour. For us, it's dry but cold. High pressure remains in control tomorrow. We will see high pressure slide offshore, though, by Thursday, and that brings a warming south wind to us. We'll be up to 67 by Thursday afternoon. Should be a great day to be outside. Friday, 72. Still mainly dry during the day for St. Patrick's Day, but that evening into Friday night, we've got rain moving in. It sticks around into Saturday morning, but quickly clears out. There will be more dry hours this weekend, the way it looks right now, than wet hours, but we're going to be cooling right back off.
All right. Thank you, Kat.
It's still ahead. It's got some brand new images to show you from our favorite NASA telescope. What scientists say it shows sure is beautiful, and what it resembles in time for spring.
Boy, crews have been cleaning up what started as a home that collapsed then on the Outer Banks. Now it's on the beach. National Park Service workers were out on the beach in Wordanthe today collecting pieces of debris which have washed away from the property. Pieces have been found along a 20-mile stretch and down the Cape Hatteras National Seashore. Crews already hauled 20 truckloads of debris away from the beach to help protect natural resources and beachgoers. Several homes have collapsed in Wordanthe in the last year or so.
And today, leaders in the town of Cary took a ride on what they believe is the future of transportation.
That's pretty cool. It's a low-speed electric shuttle vehicle with no driver in the front seat called Cassie. It's programmed with a fixed route, which for now is limited to Cary's Bond Park. It's a 3-month pilot project in a partnership between the state DOT and the town of Cary. They want you to take the ride and share your experience. The shuttle ride is free through June.
I think my kids would get a kick of that.
Absolutely. It seems like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Well, new images from space are getting a lot of attention on social media.
This is gorgeous. NASA's James Webb Telescope does it again, capturing this image of a huge star on the cusp of exploding. It's a blooming Wolf-Rayet star. It's over 15,000 light years away. NASA says this is a rare phase to see and that it resembles the cherry blossom. Mm-hmm. Wolf-Rayet stars are among the most massive stars that have been found in the Milky Way. I could stare at that photo all day.
It just doesn't seem real.
I know.
It's absolutely stunning.
Gorgeous. Well, thank you so much for joining us here and making WRAL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRAL. We hope to see you then. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.